Fit for Europe, the Fit for Them podcast.
Hello, my name's Stanko Mindicea. I'm Associate Professor at the Institute of Linguistics at the University of Opole, and I would like to welcome everyone to the third podcast in our series. Before I begin, I would like to remind all our listeners that the For Them Alliance was established in 2019 as a European university network of seven universities. It's been working on joint structures and activities concerning student and staff mobility, virtual educational tools, and researchers' networks that cooperate in seven thematic labs. In turn, Fit For Them is an alliance that additionally supports institutional transformation. For example, the project helps to set common research areas and build bridges linking university resources to make them more accessible. Additional funds support labs in the implementation of pilot studies. Today, we will be talking about a very important and sensitive topic of research assessment system. My special guest today is Katarzyna Molek-Kozakowska, Associate Professor at the University of Opole, a distinguished scholar and the head of the Department of English at the Institute of Linguistics. She's also a member of Fit For Them core team, where she's responsible for the project communication and tasks aimed at fostering institutional transformation. Welcome again, Katarzyna.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And if I may, let me ask you the first question. Towards the end of 2021, the European Commission, and this means primarily the Directorate General for Research and Innovation and the Unit for Open Science, released a scoping report entitled Towards a Reform of the Research Assessment System. Why does the system need a reform?
Well, research funding organizations have an obligation to choose and fund research of the highest prospective quality and impact on society. This is obvious given that most of the funding comes from taxpayers' money, isn't it? Still, it is easier said than done. Well, so far, the system of research assessment has been mainly based on bibliometric indicators. That is, the number of publications and citations in high impact factor journals. Often those journals are behind a paywall rather than available in open access. In recent years, there's been more and more criticism of this relatively narrow method of evaluating research. This criticism came especially from disciplines that recognize radically different criteria for research excellence and impact, such as the social sciences and humanities. Some countries in Europe and beyond have already taken steps to improve the ways they assess research and researchers. But according to the European Commission, the progress still remains slow and uneven. For example, this may make us think back of the Plan S initiative from 2018, established to make full open access a reality. In 2022, we still have some countries and funders embracing the plan, while others still choosing to rely on the subscription-based model of scientific publishing.
So what's the role of the European Commission in all this reform then?
Well, to speed the reform up, mainly. The Commission recommends developing a new flexible system of assessment with a wider range of more appropriate criteria. Obviously, this new proposal did not appear suddenly, out of the blue. It was intensively consulted with many representatives of the research community over the course of 2021. Some of those include European university networks, such alliances as For Them. Now, the Commission wants individual research funding organizations, universities, national and regional research assessment authorities to sign a common European agreement. The assumption is that working on the reform will allow various stakeholders to express their interests. Research and researchers' assessment, after all, is a highly context-specific and sensitive issue.
So, can we say that the plan is to abandon quantitative indicators in research assessment altogether?
Not totally, but a good balance between quantitative and qualitative indicators is advocated. In a nutshell, by committing to reform, the signatories of this European-level agreement would have to come up with and start applying additional measures of research performance than just the bibliometric ones. For example, they would have to allow different criteria for different areas of research. They might also have to hire more evaluators and peer reviewers and include qualitative measures of impact. The proposed system would be more flexible and could take into account the diversity of national systems, of disciplines, of research cultures, even research maturity levels. It would also acknowledge the specific missions of individual institutions and researchers' diverse career paths.
That sounds very promising, but how will the European Commission ensure that the agreement does not stay a plan or a promise?
As soon as the signatories commit to the agreed objectives and principles, they would have to offer implementation plans in order to translate the commitments into actions with timelines and with deliverables. They will be expected to exchange on the progress of the reform and share their deliverables publicly.
So in what way will this new assessment system impact individual researchers? In other words, how it will affect our work?
Hopefully for the better. The new assessment would allow to acknowledge the wide range of research outputs and processes that researchers are normally involved in. It would de-emphasize the culture of racing for publications. For example, it could appreciate researchers' involvement in coordination of research, mentoring, leadership, grant coordination. It would valorize the fact that some researchers work very closely with external partners or engage in outreach and interactions with society, for example, by popular science or citizen science.
Can you give some more examples of what might matter more in the future?
Because of the variety of individual researchers' career paths, it is only fair to have a variety of indicators, isn't it? The so-called good practices in research vary significantly, as we know all too well and for them because of our site-specific circumstances. You asked for examples. Well, so far, emphasis has been put on individual achievements and authorship. Now, points could be scored, for example, for teamwork and collaboration. Previously, the purity of disciplines was to be maintained. Now, points could be scored for actual inter- and transdisciplinarity. In fact, Fordham Labs and matchmaking events, we are trying to bring researchers together to work on important challenges across these disciplinary boundaries. Well, however, the degree of transdisciplinarity and innovation is not always reflected in metrics. That is where qualitative assessment and peer review come in.
From the point of view of researchers, will the recruitment practices change in any way?
It is very likely that first in EU-sponsored projects and then in the context of other organizations, naturally the ones that are ambitious and willing to change, the hiring protocols will evolve. It is possible that position descriptions will gradually change. Recruiters may more routinely call for documents proving a candidate's achievements regarding research sharing or interdisciplinary teamwork or a variety of career-related experiences, including mobilities, for example.
And what about the university rankings? Will they change as well?
Probably, in the long run, they would. A university ranking can be quite misleading, especially if the factors analyzed and ranked are not representative of much of what is actually done at the organization. According to the reform, research units would be assessed not only on the basis of their research outputs, such as publications, patents, solutions, but also on the relative contribution to national and regional missions and on innovation implementation and potential social impact.
What could be the main barriers for the implementation of such a system?
The challenge would probably include overcoming some old habits and vested interests. For example, for science as a whole, there is a need to reward openness in terms of open collaboration and early knowledge and data sharing. As already tested in the Horizon programs, open science is an important part of research excellence and includes much more than open access publishing. These practices are often contrary to the interests of the parties involved, researchers, organizations, external partners, as they would no longer simply be positioned to gain advantage and capitalize on their research results. Obviously, some research would continue to not be fully open, but more efforts would be needed to explain or justify why results can't be available. Also, the change of mentality would be needed. We need to start recognizing peer review as one of the most important duties and services to the scientific community. Because today, peer reviewers are often not rewarded, not incentivized, or sometimes not even well-trained to offer their assessments. Many researchers avoid taking on these important tasks, and a small group of those who do take them on might do this out of the wrong reasons. When planning the future of Fordham and its research mission, we are already considering these barriers and planning appropriate actions.
You mentioned result sharing and open science practices a few times. Is the Commission recommending these as well in the context of this particular reform?
Oh, indeed. And this is in line with a position embraced by the EU institutions rather consistently for a number of years. The new assessment system aims to reward what they call early knowledge and data sharing and open collaboration. There must be incentives and recognitions for those researchers that engage in open science, that collaborate in a transparent manner, such as an open peer review. But openness of research means also that methods are transparent and results are open to verification and replication. It also means that previous results can be reused freely, so we are spared some parallel or duplicate studies.
What's the role of European university alliances in the context of the reform?
As I mentioned, European university alliances and associations they are part of have been consulted in the process of shaping this reformed system. They contributed to the understandings of research excellence and career diversity. They are at the forefront of prospective changes. So they will be able to raise awareness of the kinds of changes that are expected to be introduced in research cultures. They have also developed spaces and fora for communication and common structures for decisions making and lobbying. And all this could be quite useful to change the habits and routines. After the piloting period, many European university alliances, such as Fordham, will try to implement new policies they have come up with. And one of them could be the Alliance Internal Recommendations for Research Assessments. Fordham is already working on specific actions it could undertake in the coming years to make researchers prepared for the reformed system of assessment. This requires some foresight and some imagination, but knowing the values and expectations expressed in this scoping report you mentioned, it helps us to design just the right missions and just the right actions for them.
Thanks a lot. That was a truly impressive presentation. I'm sure our listeners now have a much clearer understanding of the proposed reforms and the logic behind them. My guest today was Professor Katarzyna Mole-Kozakowska. I'm Stanko Mirnicieja. We've recorded this podcast at the University of Opole. Thank you very much for your attention and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.